Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 105. Narinder Nan, you are running for re-election as Ward 3 Hamilton City Councilor. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you so much, Joey. Glad to be here.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a 45-year-old woman. I'm a proud mom of a 6-year-old, and I'm the current Ward 3 City Councilor. I prided myself as being a community builder for more than over a quarter century now. And I come from a background where, like many of us, hard work was drilled into me as an ethos. And I'm somebody who defines myself by the results of my action. I don't believe in transactional politics, and I believe that we need to address change at a root and system level. That's part of my foundation as a person, and it's part of the foundation of everything I've done since I've had the privilege of working. And I believe that we need to really focus at this time at making lasting change that's going to be beneficial for future generations to come.
Why are you running?
I'm running because I'm, number one, proud of everything I got done, Joey, over this first tumultuous term of city council. There is no way to have predicted that this pandemic was going to come. And in spite of that, I feel proud of what I've been able to do on behalf of Ward 3 residents and on behalf of Hamiltonians. And I'm honestly just so excited about the prospect of getting back in to finish the work that we started. A lot of work had to get paused because of the pandemic, and I don't feel fulfilled yet having had so much work paused. As somebody who is so results driven, I feel like there's much more to accomplish. And these are challenging times. And I think that it's really important to have some stability and continuity, especially in Ward 3 that's had so much change in representation. And should I be reelected, I'm looking forward to implementing the 128 safety enhancement recommendations that we were able to garner from the Ward 3 Complete Streets Review. I'm looking forward to finishing the replacement of every park amenity that's reached its end of life. And I'm actually really excited about the prospects of a new council that's made up of 8 new people, where we can deliberate with respect, we can deliberate with ethics, and we can deliberate towards a shared vision and accomplish and deliver for Hamiltonians the excellent city that every Hamiltonian deserves. I'm excited about the kind of discussion and dialogue that's going to come in a future term of council. And I want to be at that table to continue pushing for equity, for climate action, for principled and deep investment to tackle our infrastructure deficit that we're facing, and also to serve residents in terms of their city services and ensuring that they're getting excellence in their city services as well.
Do you live in Ward 3, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Heck yeah. And the reason is because living in the ward that you represent gives you the firsthand experience on the matters that you're deliberating that are most important to your residents and neighbors. Living in the ward also gives you a clear sense of the pride of the impact of the work that you're making, and you get to share the story and the victories and the achievements with neighbors for whom you are representing that work to take place. It's also important because it gives accountability and integrity to why you're making decisions and how you're making decisions. So as somebody who lives in the ward, who's experienced how difficult and hard and scary it is to walk across Main Street in those neighborhoods as I'm walking my daughter to her school, having that very firsthand lived experience is part of what good governance and policymaking decisions is rested in. You rest your decisions in people's experiences, understand the challenges of those experiences, weigh out whose experiences yours don't match, find those neighbors whose experiences you still don't represent, and then bring that to the table when you're deliberating on council decisions. I think it's essential for accountability as well, because you have to face your neighbors walking down the street, and those are the people that you're making decisions on behalf of. And I think that's a street level accountability that holds us accountable around that table when we're making.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I think in so many different ways. Having the privilege of serving as Ward 3 City Councilor, one of the first things that I did when I went in was move discretionary funds to invest in parks and playgrounds, in water fountains, putting water fountains in when parks that never have had them, or where the what were the old original ones called? Shorty Greens? You know, whether or not we had any in Ward 3, which I'm not sure. Maybe there might have been one in Gage Park. But nonetheless, I digress. Bringing in water fountains, replacing spray pads, investing in cycling infrastructure. Victoria Lane Protected Cycle Track is a brand new cycle track that exists in this city that happened in this term because of my advocacy for it. Repairing, I think, over 125 kilometers of sidewalks that needed repair so that mobility was better served for residents who walk and roll using our city's infrastructure. I've put in pedestrian crosswalks where those kinds of things were never invested in before in the ward to enable particularly children to get to libraries, to get to schools, and to get to parks more safely. I've also heard really loud and clear, Ward 3 residents were tired of having to deal with heavy trucks on our neighborhood streets and how scary and unhealthy that was for children along Cannon, as well as other parts of the neighborhood. And so it was an honor to serve on the truck route subcommittee and move and push to get heavy trucks out of our neighborhood streets. For decades, Ward 3 residents and Hamiltonians have been talking about, council, can we get rid of the freaking mega lane highway that has tore up neighborhoods from being connected places where people can move around freely? And I'm proud of the work that myself and other council colleagues, and particularly Councillor Wilson and I, were pushing to have Main Street converted to two-way. It's really unfortunate it took the toll of death and serious injuries to compel this last term of council to act, but it also took the political courage to put it on the table. And I'm proud of that victory, and I think that that's going to make a big contribution as it relates to the communities of Ward 3 and across the city as well in terms of roadway safety. I think I've also delivered a more accountable city hall, one where I've been able to bring my own personal ethics and standards around decision-making to the table. And I think I've demonstrated to Hamiltonians what governing behavior ought to look like and can look like. I'm not perfect by any means. I have a lot of growth to do and learning to do there as well. But I think fundamentally what I've contributed to our city is good decision-making, respect for my office. Personally, I feel very honored to have played the role that I have played over the 4 years and the mark and the contributions that I've been able to make for Ward 3 in the city. Joey, I feel like I can go on and on and on, like as somebody who is very, like I mentioned, results driven. The community impact reports that I've been releasing every year as a newsletter to Ward 3 residents has hundreds of accomplishments in terms of the numbers of motions that I've moved, but also the millions of dollars that I've had invested into infrastructure to make our neighborhoods more complete and better and more livable.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 3 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
In this next term of council, should I be reelected? For Ward 3, I would like to implement the 128 roadway safety enhancement recommendations that came from our Complete Streets Comprehensive Road Review. We had over 800 residents provide input on hot spot places where residents have been concerned about roadway safety. And that then informed a technical review by engineers and traffic specialists. And that generated 128 plus roadway safety enhancements. I look forward to implementing those, and they ought to be implemented regardless of who becomes city councilor for Ward 3. My second priority will be paying very close attention to everything related to the LRT. The LRT is providing an artery of possibility, not only for Ward 3, but across the entire corridor that it will be serving. And the outcomes must deliver advancement for all Hamiltonians, not just for private development. So I'm looking forward to ensuring I get back in another opportunity to serve on the LRT subcommittee. I'm looking forward to joining the planning committee so that I can make sure there's due diligence for that entire process. Citywide priorities, number one, eliminate area rating transit. Finally, let's get on with investing in transit so that every Hamiltonian across this entire city can benefit from a robust transit system and feel good about making choices about riding our HSR and transit and getting out of their vehicles and contributing to the future in terms of climate responsibility. The second, I think, is sustainable planning and development across the entire city, and doing it in a way that integrates both the climate and equity lens. so that we are delivering safer, better, and more complete communities across the city as well.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 3 on Hamilton City Council?
Number one, I bring people together. Whether it's residents who are on different sides of an issue in the ward around a neighborhood-specific development or initiative, and whether it's council colleagues around a policy change that I'm trying to table that they don't yet understand. So I think I've demonstrated and I really actually honor that skill set in terms of being able to bring people together. The second skill set I'd say is I'm strategic. I know when to put things forward and when to kind of hold things back. And that comes from understanding that even though we're facing significant, complex, and urgent issues simultaneously, it matters to get it right in terms of how we address it. And getting things right means doing things the right way, but it also means making sure that you're fundamentally driven by the ultimate outcome that's required. And so that requires a lot of strategic decision-making in terms of short-term wins, mid kind of trajectory goals, and then being really clear about where your long-term strategy is in terms of the outcomes that will fundamentally change the situation. And I'd say my third that allows me to be the best choice for Ward 3 residents as their city councilor is that I wouldn't be starting from scratch. I have a mature office team and a resident response system that's able to address resident needs. And that experience matters because there is a complexity of files and active files that are really important for continuity of service to Ward 3 residents, but also really important for that continuity of decision-making around the council table when we're going to be confronting some pretty heavy issues in this next term.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are reelected. As you learned last term, there's a lot of things that City Hall decides to keep confidential. And when you were first elected, you initially voted to keep the Coots Paradise cover-up confidential before voting against keeping it confidential. It was eventually revealed by a whistleblower. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information that the majority of council declares confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Talk about cutting your teeth. Woof, that was a difficult journey to walk as a governor. But I did learn quickly, and the principles and advice that matter most to me in every single in-camera session and moving forward should I be reelected is number one, does the information pose an immediate health and safety risk to the people of Hamilton? Two, how is public interest being served by withholding or releasing this information? Three, would withholding the information undermine public trust and confidence in this city should the information be discovered in a different route? Four, does the information reveal a systemic issue which could, if not corrected, cause future risks to the public? And finally, there are some very clear legal reasons to keep certain information in confidence to prevent placing the city as a corporation at a risk, as an elected representative, fiduciary responsibility. And I take that role very seriously. And that's always been in play for me in determining what information should be kept confidential and what should be made public.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Number one, definitely read the whole thing in its entirety and be prepared to ask questions when it's deliberated upon by council and in the presence of staff. I think it's going to be really important to review all the recommendations and findings that are brought forward in the final reports and ensure that the necessary changes are made to address not only the specific incidences as it relates to the Red Hill inquiry, but also around the toxic culture that the inquiry is exposing and creating a pathway of accountability for that culture change.
The construction of the Beeline LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Well, should I be reelected, I will definitely seek to serve on the LRT subcommittee again and pay really close attention to the entire project's timeline and implementation. Having served on the LRT subcommittee, I've already been able to ask really important questions in terms of what to anticipate, and more importantly, holding the city interests at heart as we work in collaboration with Metrolinx in the province. So how do I plan to respond to construction challenges is paying really close attention to it and identifying if we are seeing what we are seeing currently in terms of elevated costs related to infrastructure, construction, and implementation, then to have the early conversations with other levels of government about contingencies and how we make sure we deliver this project on time and on budget.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 3 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
The should know about versus, hey, did you know? So I had the privilege of hanging out in the former Brightside neighborhood, and I was toured by Paul, who is the last Brightsider, who was born and still lives in the neighborhood. And he took me down to the foot of Lead Street. And at that dead end, you see a green space. And behind the wall of green are some peach trees, some apple trees, some fruit trees. There's some grapevines. Of course, there's grapevines everywhere in Hamilton. And there's the remnants of community gardens. And what's absolutely beautiful about kind of wandering into that green space, although you have to be careful right now, there's a lot of ticks, is that you really get a sense of wonder from just a generation past of this beautiful immigrant worker community of steel workers and production workers. And you can feel the community and how they used to take care of each other. The trees are still bearing fruit.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the types of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 3 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 3?
Great question, especially when I think about the land zoned for industrial use and the pockets of those neighborhoods. And if you think about this transition from our last conversation about Brightside, and I think about the Lucy Day community and other neighborhoods like that, where we have neighbors' backyards coming up right against industrial operations or commercial, heavy commercial operations. And I think it's time to move those neighborhoods where they aren't currently designated as residential enclaves to do so, so that those neighbors have the ability to hold industrial and commercial operations accountable. And fundamentally, maybe it's time certain commercial businesses were encouraged to move to other areas where it's more appropriate for them to be able to carry out their operations without compromising the health and safety of the residents that they're neighbored with. I think it's going to be really important that we continue pushing for the end of exclusionary zoning citywide and to diversify where density exists in our city. And why that ties to Ward 3 is because we've had such a high concentration of more homes that are converted to triplexes, homes that are converted into quadplexes. And we definitely need to continue supporting secondary dwelling units and continue supporting gentle intensification in the ward. But it's also time that other neighborhoods picked up the weight and that we create an entire Hamilton that is prepared to deliver mixed income housing and middle density housing as well.
How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
Number one, if reelected, I will serve on the planning committee this term. I didn't choose to be on the planning committee, but should I get a second term, it's going to be imperative to sit on that planning committee as a Ward 3 city councillor. There's a lot of development files that are already underway and that are coming as a result of the LRT. And it is going to be critically important to drill into the details of each one of those development files and engage the local community through the process so we can ensure that there's an overall balance of housing mix and that we're holding those developers accountable as it relates to building green buildings that have net zero energy, that are hitting the mark as it relates to passive design. So they're held accountable around our climate goals, but also that those developments are coming forward in a way that is informed by local community so that we are actually, as a municipality, ensuring a quality of life for the entire neighborhood and not just paving a path for easy development to get big towers up quickly. I think it's going to be critical to make sure that we are, as a council, paying really close attention to development files so that we're ensuring sustainable development, so that we're not having to undo the decisions that we're making.
There are 6 LRT stops planned for Ward 3. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit areas, and how will you implement that vision?
My vision for the artery of possibility along that entire corridor is that we are guiding it with a clear inclusionary zoning target, where we're inviting and holding developers accountable to deliver affordable units in each new development. It's going to be key. Now, whether that's 20%, 30%, I know other municipalities have struggled to even get 12%. It's going to be an important policy decision that this next term of council needs to make. And my vision is one where that balance is held to a higher scale so that we have the mixed income communities that lead to social cohesion fundamentally. The second area that is going to be really important to implement relates to community benefits. And I'm really pleased that this term of council in the last month has pursued reinstating the community benefits subcommittee. And I think it's going to be critical to those development goals along the station stops for us to shape it out in a way that also delivers social outcomes, whether that's giving local residents an opportunity to be trained in trades and carpentry skills and all the construction skill trades so that local people can be hired, but also from the perspective of what does public art look like? What do green spaces look like? And how are we really holding accountability around our complete streets design manual as the final LRT corridor gets shaped out and finalized in design?
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 3. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
Number 1, implement the 128 plus specific recommendations for implementation that are coming out of the Ward 3 Comprehensive Complete Streets Review. The report's going to be finalized in September, and I've already allocated money towards the first phase of implementation, and it's going to be critical for whoever is going to serve as Ward 3 City Councilor going forward that we implement it, primarily because over 800 residents' voices are part of making those priorities clear. And because of the technicality and expertise that has gone in from an analysis perspective to say what's possible. The second area that is going to be really specific to address is continuing our work around pedestrian safe access and crossing. There's a lot more that we need to do around that. And then the third would be everything related to the motion that Councillor Wilson and I passed around Main Street and King Street, as well as all major arteries that are currently running as one-way streets, and reviewing what staff come back with in terms of recommendations and implementing those into our overall roads master plan.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for a decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
Number 1, seeking input from residents. 2, relevant subject matters, experts and staff in terms of their expertise and the necessity of particular issue. I'm also looking forward to working more closely with colleagues at the Federation of Canadian Municipalities and the Association of Municipalities in Ontario. They offer incredible opportunities for learning for any sitting councillor. You don't have to actually be a representative to either of those associations in order to benefit from the workshops and training that they make available. And it's accessible as a sitting councillor, and even as a non-sitting councillor, you can pay to attend those workshops. And there's often a lot of best practices that are being shared from other municipalities within local jurisdictions that Hamilton can benefit from. And the third I would say is, since serving in this first term of city council, I got connected with the C40 Cities Network, which is a global network of mayors taking urgent action to confront climate crises and create cities that are future ready. And similarly to FCM and AMO, they are serving as this incredible knowledge hub that Hamilton can benefit from. And so as we seek to become the mid-sized community and city that we are and be one of excellence, there's a lot that we can draw from. And we have a tendency in Hamilton to want made-in-Hamilton solutions. And we, unfortunately, there has been past decisions to pursue that without looking at what other cities are doing that are actually best practices. This might be a bit counter to where some Hamiltonians want us to go. But we have to take a look at the complexity of these issues and come forward with solutions that have been tested in other cities. Why wouldn't we want to take the best practices that other folks have already tested out and start from there and then continue building towards the response that we need to pivot to in order to make it shimmy into place to fit for Hamilton? So some of it is going to be resident-driven, absolutely, at the heart of it in terms of priority setting. And then it's about leaning towards subject matter experts and other municipalities who are also tackling these exact same issues that we have today. We're not exceptional. We're actually part of a world that's contending with the exact same issues right now.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Number one, I say that we are at a point where we need a 311 style customer service program. It has been very challenging serving as a ward counselor and playing this role between customer service satisfaction and governance. And I think that sometimes our office gets so inundated, the number of calls we get and the number of emails that we get, and we're happy to serve every single Ward 3 resident who's having difficulty navigating our city system. But to make sure that your garbage is collected on time, to ask about when if you've got a complaint around snow clearing, that kind of stuff should be really handled by a customer service response system that is able to mobilize a response in a time frame that is appropriate for residents and that they can have clear expectations of when their services are going to be delivered. And it's high time that we invest in something like that so that we can free up ward offices to really focus on the big, deep governing issues that our municipality is facing. So number one, a 311 system for Hamilton. Number two, I think we need to use social media and online channels more strategically as well for customers. I say that recognizing that there is a digital divide, but there's also so much information that the city ends up lacking access to without implementing a clear channel where a resident can take a picture of something, submit it through an application, and file it for service response. And I think we've heard that quite a bit, especially in this pandemic, while more and more people turn to digital and online access for their municipal services.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Number one, I look forward to being able to enhance and continue the enhancement of our parks and green spaces, aggressively planting trees to meet our urban canopy goals, continuing to invest in water fountains in every park and parkette across the city and Ward 3, and do so in a way where we are building for inclusion as it relates to play. You know, we've got the Brightside Park coming up, starting hopefully construction in this new term. And not only will that improve the quality of life for the local residents who live in the area, I fundamentally know it's going to be another gem in Ward 3, similar to Gage Park, with 10 acres of green space transforming a former industrial land. So I'm really looking forward to that in terms of improving quality of life. The second would be traffic safety. We need to make sure that our Vision Zero principles are put directly into action. And the number one thing that will improve a quality of life for many Lower City residents is implementing staff recommendations as it relates to not only two-waying Main, but also all the major arterial roads and slowing down cars and bringing accountability and enforcement into play, and also using the opportunity of redesigning our streets to deliver slower speeds and safer streets, and also at the same time provide sustainable, complete pedestrian access spaces.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
I would hope that the three words that define my term would be leadership, compassion, and results. And for city council, I would hope that in 2026, we're looking back and council is defined by belonging, by excellence, and by delivering a city that we all deserve.
So the next question was not sent to you in advance. We're going to replay your answers to this question from 2018.
I would hope that for my term, the three words that would describe that 4 years are responsive, visionary, and a doer. For city council, principled, progressive, and innovative.
How do you feel that you did for your three words?
Yeah, I think I nailed it. It was great to hear that back. Man, my voice has changed. In terms of council, man, I wish we could have done so in a united way and really made that come home. But in spite of it all, Joey, I feel proud of the work that we're able to accomplish at council. And there were some really hard-fought wins for Hamiltonians, but we did it. As it results from the perspective of raising our urban boundary, two-waying Main Street, getting heavy trucks off the roads, there was a lot of innovation that had to take place. And the beautiful part about it all is that residents pushed for it.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Yeah. Hamilton is at a turning point, and the choices we're going to make over the next 4 years are going to impact generations of Hamiltonians to come. And what I vow to Ward 3 residents and this city, should I be reelected, is that you can count on me to continue to lead with integrity, with compassion, and with transparency. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And lastly, how do people find out more about your platform and connect with you on social media?
The best place would be to go to rward3.ca. You'll get linked right to all the social media channels that we're using for this re-election campaign. And you can reach me by email at info@ourward3.ca.
This has been episode 105 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.